Our next case this morning is Cardozo against Robert Bosch.
May it please the court.
Please, we'll be called when it is time. We do allow your adversary actually to find a seat and other lawyers to change. Mr. Ruff.
Thank you. I apologize, Your Honor. May it please the court. Mr. Cardozo is Brazilian, and he started to work for Bosch America, worked there for several years as a buyer. And one day he discovered through conversations with Mr. Terza, at least this is the evidence that we have, it's undisputed that he discovered for the first time that he was receiving less than other individuals who were Americans and were doing the same work as he is. He confronted a Mr. Gaba, who was his immediate supervisor. Mr. Gaba made comments that he would check out, that it's hard to get money out of the Germans. He spoke to a Mr. Buell, who is the head of that department, of that division, and then came back to Mr. Gaba and told Mr. Gaba that he would came back to Mr. Cardozo and told him that they would adjust his salary. Mr. Buell said he would make an adjustment of his salary up to the level of the other individuals at his job classification, which is buyer, within 2 weeks. That did not occur. Subsequently, all within the 300-day period, Mr. Gaba repudiated essentially this conversation to Mr. Cardozo. Mr. Cardozo filed a complaint alleging disparate, discriminatory payment of fees because he was of salary because he was Brazilian, and also discriminatory employment promotion. It's somewhat difficult for me to know exactly the rationale of the court decision, because the court did ask both parties to brief the issue on the Das Computer and Reese Ice Cream cases as to whether there's discriminatory payment that's made in one. The action starts when the first discriminatory payment occurs, or each discriminatory payment is a separate cause of action. I believe that is not the issue, the core issue. I think ultimately the judge did decide that the core issue was whether Mr. Cardozo filed within the period, and what was his justification, if he had any justification for it. And our position is he had a justification to file within his claim was timely because he discovered the discrimination. It took several years before he discovered it, but he made a reasonable discovery of the discrimination, and within the 300-day period of that discovery, he then filed his claim for discriminatory salaries and for discriminatory hiring. I think that's a number of cases in this court which provide
the
for
the principal
for that.
Case on which the district court relied is the Supreme Court's opinion in Amtrak against Morgan. It's also the principal case on which your adversary relies, but your brief doesn't so much as cite Morgan. Is there any particular reason for this? I mean, how can you distinguish principal adverse authority when you don't deign to mention it?
I apologize. I at this point do not remember why I failed to mention it. I thought I had mentioned
and then
the
of
issues.
Course after your adversary relies heavily on it, you don't file a reply brief. Well,
right.
Is there any ground on which one can distinguish Morgan?
And I must apologize to the court. I do not remember the Morgan, or I should did not remember raising it, or why I did not raise it, or why that would apply in this matter. And I apologize. I thought, to my opinion, the cases that were critical here was whether my client had, whether this court allows a defendant, an individual, a plaintiff, when he discovers, reasonably discovers discrimination, to start the tolling, start the period of limitations at that point. And I believe that the cases I cited for that were the Dasguputa case and the Dugan case, and a number of other cases which dealt exactly with that point. And I thought that was the point that was at issue, that my client discovered the discrimination, filed within 300 days of that filing, and then had a right thereafter to determine whether there was a discriminatory pay and there was a discriminatory hiring based either on the direct method of proof because of the statement made by Mr. Gaba, or the indirect or the mosaic method of proof because of the fact that he was being treated differently from others who were who did the same kind of work and had the same kind of skills he did, and yet they were being they were given promotions and they were given raises and they were given a higher salary. And combining that with the statement of Mr. Gaba, which should be taken to be an admission because Mr. Gaba was in direct contact with Mr. Buell, and Mr. Buell was the decision maker in this matter, and Mr. Buell had enunciated his reasons for the discrimination in the first place. So I read, and I apologize to the court, I read that the cases that this court, that the judge primarily relied on were Davis and Dasguputa, and I don't pronounce it right, and that the district court was saying, in effect, that the statement by Mr. Gaba was insufficient as a matter of law or a matter of fact to advise Mr. Cardozo of the fact that he was being treated in a discriminatory basis, and therefore you go back to the fact that the discrimination had occurred before the 300-day period. But that's a distinction. The distinction, even if Davis and other cases make the distinction, there is a distinction between what Mr. Gaba told Mr. Cardozo, which informed him of the discrimination in the first place, which would not necessarily rise to the test for an admission of a party opponent, and the subsequent question, which the district court did not reach, which would be whether after Mr. Cardozo reasonably discovered the discrimination, whether he could prove it using Mr. Gaba's statement as a direct evidence. Two different points. He did not reach that second point. So I'd like to reserve the... I have 2 minutes, which I will...
Thank you, Mr. Ruff.
Thank you.
Ms. Cowan.
May it please the Court. Your Honors, the District Court properly granted summary judgment in this case for two independent reasons. First, the District Court properly held that all of Mr. Cardozo's claims were time-barred, that is, that they were filed more than 300 days after they occurred with the EEOC. And second, that he relied principally upon the statement of Mr. Gaba as evidence that Bosch paid him less because of his national origin, Brazilian. The statements of Mr. Gaba were not either direct or indirect evidence of discrimination. First, in order to constitute direct evidence of discrimination, those statements had to come from a person who was ultimately responsible for the contested decision. Here, Mr. Cardozo admits that his interim pay increases were not discriminatory, but rather that his original setting of his salary in 1999 was set discriminatorily lower than other buyers. This setting was conducted exclusively, however, by Edmund Buell, who at the time was the director of purchasing, along with input from the Human Resources Department. Mr. Gaba was not Mr. Cardozo's supervisor at the time, and he did not participate in that decision. His opinion, 18 months later, that Mr. Cardozo was paid less because he was Brazilian and Human Resources perceived that he would be earning less in Brazil, was not direct evidence because it was not contemporaneous with that decision and he did not participate in that decision. It is also not direct evidence of discrimination because, as set forth in our memorandum, it did not reveal animus based on his heritage. It is not an immutable characteristic. Rather, that alleged statement, which Mr. Gaba denies making altogether, reveals at best that Bosch considered what Mr. Cardozo's market value was at the point of setting his salary. If he were earning less in Brazil, then Bosch could obtain his services for less. That is no different than when my law firm hires somebody who's a judicial clerk or somebody from a smaller law firm or somebody from a bigger firm. If they're earning less money, we can pay them less money to recruit them. And that is, at best, the inference that can be drawn from Mr. Gaba's statement. For these reasons, the district court properly granted summary judgment on the lack of evidence of discrimination. That alone merits sustaining the summary judgment. The district court also properly concluded that this claim was barred by the statute of limitations. First, the district court properly recognized that Mr. Cardozo was really bringing two claims. His comparisons to senior buyers, which were in a higher pay classification, were really the product of a failure to promote. As Mr. Cardozo testified, people were hired in after him in higher classifications at higher pay grades.
How did he get to this particular plant in South Bend? Was he from Brazil?
He worked from 1995 to 1997 for Bosch's Brazilian entity, and then he was transferred in 97 to South Bend for a two-year training assignment. At the end of that training assignment, he expressed a desire to remain in the United States, and after discussions with human resources, a place was found for him. He essentially kept that same position, but a decision was made that they would make a position for him. When he was on the training assignment, he actually remained on the payroll
That was my question. So it's a time when he said, I'd like to stay in the United States, and that's it.
Then his employment transferred from the Brazilian entity to the U.S. entity. That would have been in November of 1999, and at that point he was offered a salary of $54,600, I believe. And that is the salary setting that he challenges, that November 1999 decision. The district court properly recognized that Cardozo's comparisons to the senior buyers hired in November of 2000 and March of 2001 were really failure to promote claims. Those vacancies were posted on the company intranet. Mr. Cardozo could have applied for them. He did not. Those postings were for senior buyer and merited a higher compensation because they were expected to make decisions autonomously, which Mr. Cardozo was not doing in his role of buyer. While Mr. Cardozo spends much time in his appellate brief trying to establish that he was performing the same type of work as buyers, that is not the pertinent question in a Title VII case. In a disparate treatment case such as this, it is a motive issue. Comparisons of equal work are relevant only under the Equal Pay Act, not Title VII. Mr. Cardozo's claim that he was denied the pay that was provided to these senior buyers was time-barred as a result of them being failure to promote claims because these promotions or positions were filled more than 300 days before he filed his EEOC charge. And as to the claim that he is entitled to the discovery rule, all that is required of the plaintiff is that he should know that he may have a cause of action. As Mr. Cardozo testified in his deposition, he found out that these positions had been awarded through announcements on the email system. He was clearly on notice that these individuals had been hired as senior buyer long before he filed the EEOC charge and long before Mr. Terza sent his April 12th email complaining about the pay, which Mr. Cardozo then also tagged along with. The comparisons to the buyers were
Surely Bosch would be upset. You know, wouldn't have a real American until he'd filed at least one lawsuit, would you?
That's correct.
If you're going to move from Brazil, you've got to adopt the whole culture.
Absolutely.
He didn't get a promotion when he filed the lawsuit, did he?
He did not get a promotion when he filed the lawsuit, but that retaliation claim has been dropped or waived, as I understand it, Your Honor.
That's why I moved to Portugal?
That's why he moved to Portugal. I do understand that he moved to Portugal because he was unhappy with his employment conditions here in the United States. But again, that portion of the claim has been waived. The comparisons to the buyers likewise are time-barred because as the district court ruled, these claims arose when the original pay was set and not when the paychecks were issued, because Mr. Cardozo admitted in his deposition that he received intervening pay increases which were non-discriminatory. And therefore, this was a failure to remedy past discrimination rather than the perpetuation of an existing payroll scheme. As a result, this case was controlled by this court's decision in Das Gupta, and it was time-barred. As a result, we believe that this case should be affirmed. The summary judgment award should be affirmed. Thank you, Your Honors.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ms. Cowan. Anything further, Mr. Ruff?
Just very briefly, Your Honor, our position remains that the discovery rule applies, and that even if he subsequently received additional payments, amounts in payment, the initial salary was set in a discriminatory basis, he would not know that he was getting payments increases based upon an initial discriminatory salary until such time as he heard it from Mr. Terza and it was ratified by Mr. Gaba. Now, whether Mr. Gaba's statements are sufficient or not to trigger an admission against interest, and I've briefed it and argued that it did, it certainly was, at that point, his first knowledge of the fact that he was, in fact, receiving a discriminatory payment, and therefore his complaint was timely, at least with respect to differences in pay based upon discrimination. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ruff. The case is taken under advisement. Our final